Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.
You're locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
If you're just joining us, thanks for being with us. ESPN Louisville excited to announce that they're partnering with Louisville City FC coming up this season. The live play-by-play of Lou City as they go for their third USL Championship. You'll hear the games on various stations here in the family, 93.9 The Ville or 680-1057. You can win four tickets to the 2021 home opener. Visit loucity.com/ESPN Louisville to enter today. So check that out, and we'll be talking a little bit about the new opportunities here. There's going to be some locker-related programs. We're going to be talking about locker rooms. Going to be some soccer-related programs as part of that deal as well. So we're looking forward to that. And Jeff Greer is going to have the call of the play-by-play. And they're going to have a very impressive group of people to take part in the soccer programming they're going to do. It's going to be a lot of fun. So that new stadium is absolutely gorgeous, and hopefully they'll be able to start. I'll ask Jonathan about that. Jonathan Littner is going to join us, who's the Senior Director of PR and Communications for both Racing Lou FC and Lou City FC. And here he is right now, and why don't we start with that first question as he joins us. Jonathan, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the ESPN Louisville family. I'm sure, hopefully on your end, there's excitement just as there is from the people around here. But that beautiful stadium, I mean, you got to play there last year, and you had some people in the crowd, but it was not really, you know, fully opened. Is it likely you'll be able to start with that, or still, at least for a little while more, there's going to be some limited crowds? How do you think that's going to play out at the start of your season?
Yeah, well, first of all, I guess I should go back to, I think it was March 29th of 2017 and say, I don't know how we got from there to here today, but it's great that ESPN Louisville and Louisville City are going to partner this season. I'm sure you remember what I'm talking about, but as far as the stadium and the capacity goes, certainly things are trending in the right direction, and the advice that we've received from the state is to wait to submit our plan to them. As the vaccine totals go up and the case counts ideally continue to go down, maybe we get above where we were last year, which was allowing 4,850 per game in the stadium. That's about one-third capacity. And I think that there's ways that we could expand upon that too. If you look at the ticket manifest and how we configure the stadium, you know, we had a lot of singles, for instance, and then you had to block out extra rows around them and keep the 6 feet between all the parties in the stadium. So I think there are a couple ways that we can get a little bit above that total. Hopefully we're at least at that old number from last season as we start this year. Governor Beshear, he said many times that we were a solid example of how to follow the protocols and do this safely. So thinking that that's a minimum and as this year goes on, that it can go up and up.
Yeah, it's very fun. When I was a little kid, and I don't think I've ever lost this, going past stadiums, like, you know, in New York where I grew up, highways go right past Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium, which was where the Mets played then, and now basically the same areas where the Citi Field is, and even the Arthur Ashe Tennis Center is all there, the Louis Armstrong Stadium. You go right by them, and I was pressed to the side of the car looking. I just thought it was awesome to see them, and if there was an event going on in there, wow, it was even better. But that stadium is just so beautifully situated as you're on the highway and go right by it. It looks right into the open end, and it looks just spectacular. It certainly has been a great addition to the landscape for Louisville sports here. I don't know how to put it, phrase it as a question, but given all of the restrictions you had last year, did you really get a good feel for how it's going to work out, like in the big picture? In other words, the amenities for the fans and everything, was the experience such that you could get a good read for how much the people enjoyed it and will enjoy it? What was your feedback?
Yeah, I think the main thing that we learned was just how imposing of an environment this is going to be for an opposing team. We heard feedback from our players, and you could tell if you were in the stadium from games, we were at a third capacity, and it was loud. And the atmosphere was really great. Probably has to do with the roof. You know, if you've ever gone by the stadium, you'll see it. It's, you know, going three quarters around the stadium. You kind of have that, I guess it's bourbon barrel sort of inspired roof. And I think that holds a lot of the sound in. And on either end, the supporters, it's a safe standing rather than seated. So where you have the most ardent fans, you know, in an ideal scenario when there's no COVID, you can really pack people into those sections and create, you know, you see it in Europe sometimes with that wall of fans. You know, we have that in the closed end right now. So that was the main takeaway from last season, which was, you know, sort of a soft launch of sorts. You know, we got to show off a lot of, you know, the local drinks and food and all that sort of stuff that's in the stadium. It was really, it's just awesome to see how thoughtfully constructed it was for fans, and how close the seats are to the pitch, how wherever you're getting a drink or standing in line, you can see what's going on, the action. It's a great place to watch a game.
Jonathan Litton is with us from Loose City. What are some of the exciting – there's always things going on. Tell us a little bit about what you hope to get, the partnership with us here and the soccer program, and just a little bit as we go forward. Give me an idea of what's on the docket.
Well, I think we have a great community asset here with the stadium, and I don't think that on a nice summer night we're going to have too much of a problem getting more than 10,000 people in here every game and selling out some games. And racing is growing, and I think just a great next step for us to take is to get involved in the sports scene, not just with soccer people or people who are looking for something to do, but people who are looking for a team to get behind, you know, a winner. And then if we're not winning, you know, also discuss why. And when I look at ESPN Louisville, all the local programming you have, all the local hosts, I mean, that's awesome. I mean, it's great. It's unmatched in this market, obviously. And to get us in those sort of conversations and to be treated, you know, we take ourselves very seriously in terms of what goes on the field. And I think maybe because Louisville City started playing in Slugger Field, there's a misconception that this is the minor leagues or that our players are just trying to get to another level. It's, you know, no, they're all signed with Louisville City and with racing. This is the best women's soccer league in the world. You know, we're going to have Alex Morgan, Megan Rapinoe, Carly Boyd. Those are the types of players that are in this league that will be coming to Louisville. And we want to be taken seriously, and I think that's what we're going to get from ESPN Louisville in terms of how the clubs are discussed and treated.
I know you're not, you know, it's not your job to go out and recruit players. That's not the public relations arm of the business, but I'm curious, as this team has had success and as the new stadium was built, I mean, this is not like baseball, for example, where you're an affiliate of a major league team and they are signing you players. You got to go out basically and put your team together. It's much more like a college team. You got to go out and recruit and get players to play for you. Has it been easier to do that given your success on the field and the stadium and the support? Have you got feedback? And you talk, sure, you talk to the players. Has that been kind of what your impression is when they've come to town here?
Well, it's a really interesting question because it applies differently to both of our teams. Louisville City, so established, every player in the USL, if they could have their pick, would probably come to Louisville City. They love the fan support. They love the facilities, the winning tradition in such a short amount of time. It's well established. On the Racing Louisville side, when you talk about the NWSL, we're in a 10-team league with the other markets being New York, Chicago, Portland, Kansas City, Orlando, and Louisville, in terms of the size of the market, is not that. And so we have to do a little bit more to market Louisville and tell the rest of this league who would look at a player who's on the U.S. Women's National Team and say, why would she want to go play in Louisville when she could go play in Seattle? And we have to show off our facilities. We have to show off what we're doing in terms of player experience. So everything is being really thoughtfully crafted. And to a certain extent, I do think the PR and the communications does lend to the reputation and ultimately could at some point help a player decide that she wants to be in Louisville. You know, I think that once we can actually play games and, you know, you can see on CBS what our stadium looks like and everything that goes on here, I think it sells itself a lot more. But as we get going as an expansion team, that's definitely been something that's on our radar that we have to do.
How are the leagues I mean, without getting into the turn this into a business seminar on professional sports in this country, how are the leagues set up differently in terms of the business aspect of it, like the ownership of the players and things like that? How different is it from the women's league to the men's league? The women's league, of course, the top women's league in the country. The men's league, while it's absolutely growing in the reputation and everything else, it is not the top level of professional soccer in this country. So how are the leagues set up differently?
Sure. There's a lot more terms and rules and things with the NWSL. It's run a lot like the MLS, where you have players' rights and you have all sorts of waiver deadlines and drafts and all these different processes, whereas the USL is just sort of find a player, he's a free agent, sign him, or he's under contract, or you pick up the option. So it's a lot simpler, I feel like. It's just a way more open system. I think it's when you get to the top of that pyramid in soccer that things get extremely competitive. And also from a racing standpoint, we're competing with clubs around the world to sign players. It's not just other teams within the league. It's a truly international level to be on. And the biggest example, I guess, that relates to us right now is that in the expansion draft last November, Racing Louisville selected the rights to Tobin Heath and Kristen Press. They're obviously signed with Manchester United, which is playing in the English league. But if they were ever to come back to the NWSL, we own those rights, whether they come and play here or we end up trading them, for something that would benefit Louisville. There's just a lot of different things to process, and you kind of have to play the game a little bit. And then we're definitely learning in that regard.
Tell me a little bit. Obviously, there's only so many tickets you can sell, but I'm curious from the business standpoint how the women's team is being, to put it in a very layman's terms, how's it going? Are you selling a lot of sponsorships? Are you selling whatever your targets are, given pandemic limitations about tickets? Are you not looking to that yet because of season tickets? You're not sure what you can sell. But what's going on from a business standpoint? Anytime you're doing a startup, it's a different creature than, it's definitely, I'm not trying to minimize this, still challenges, I'm sure, with the men's team. You've still got to go out and generate, it's not like, now we've got it made, we just, sit back and let the money roll. And you still got to go work. But it's different when it's a startup. So what kind of reception is the women's team getting from the business community?
Yeah, it definitely helps that Louisville City is so well established. We're the same office that's now going to be running twice as many teams this year. On the Louisville City side, we have admittedly kind of pumped the brakes on ticket sales. We're well over in terms of season ticket numbers what we think we'll be able to accommodate to start the season. And so now all those efforts are being put into racing Louisville and selling those tickets. And we're pretty proud that we have no schedule out yet. Not a lot has been determined about the 2021 season except for the start date and some of the competition structure, but we're past 3,000 season tickets. I think that's good considering that we launched this brand back in July in the middle of a pandemic. There's a lot of grassroots marketing type of stuff that in an ideal world we would be doing it, that right now it's just not viable. So we think it's going well. And I think that there's a lot of maybe Louisville City season ticket holders who are thinking, maybe I want to do racing. I'm not sure if I want to commit yet or I want to see the schedule. So we think we'll get there. But it's also, a little bit of a different crowd. I compare it to the difference between maybe a U of L men's basketball game and a women's basketball game. Both are extremely well attended. You might just see more dads and daughters, young couples, sisters, friends, that type of thing at a women's game than you might at a men's game, which is your more traditional and actually skews probably a little bit older crowd. So I think we're seeing a similar demographic split there, but there is going to be a lot of crossover as well.
All right, now one of the most important questions. Are you giving any bobbleheads away this year? I need to know because I've got to make sure I get in early for that. I don't have a Louisville City bobblehead.
We do scarves. We don't do bobbleheads.
Come on, man. As Keyshawn would say, do a bobble. I need a bobble to put on my shelf. They're all playing baseball in my office all the time. They're always playing a million baseball guys. And they run horses because Bob Baffert's in there in Secretariat. But as we need a little soccer. They want to play a little soccer. We got to get a soccer. Louisville City guy in there. He can organize it a little bit. So I'm throwing that out to your promotions department.
Yeah, I'll put that idea in the pipeline, see where it goes. I don't have too much authority when it comes to that sort of stuff. But just, if I say, Bob Valvano wants a bobblehead,
order them and sign my name to it. see what ownership's got to say about that. Yeah, I don't know. That may not go so well. Anyway, is the club involved in the soccer program? The radio show that they did, is that a separate entity, or do you guys have some ownership of that? I'm curious what the relationship is there.
Yeah, we're involved. That's something that we oversee. So Jeff Greer, who I'm sure you know pretty well, is going to be our play-by-play announcer. And Casey Whitfield, who is a former U of L women's player, she's going to do our color commentary. They'll both be involved in this hour-long Soccer City show. I think we're looking at Thursday nights, maybe right after Andy Sweeney's show, to do that. And then the other key piece to that is Lance McGarvey, who has kind of seen his star take off a little bit lately. He's been Louisville City's PA voice from the beginning back in 2015, but was recently hired to do the same job for U of L men's basketball. So we think it's a pretty good group together, and it's good that the same people who are going to be watching the games and caring about them and analyzing them are going to hop on this show and get all kinds of access to our players and coaches for interviews and some exclusive content.
Sounds good. Well, Jonathan, thanks very much. We will visit with you as we roll on and the season progresses here, and I appreciate you taking some time to visit with us. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you, Bob.
All right. So there you go. Lou City has found a new home here with the ESPN Louisville, 93.9 The Ville, 680-1057. In addition to the games, the men's games, women's games, the soccer radio program, which has proven to be very popular. It's
Soccer City.
Soccer City USA. Was that a video game too?
Those Cruising USA, you're thinking.
Yeah, I knew there was some city in there.
But yeah.
Anyway, so there's that. So there you go. So we're looking forward to that. We appreciate him spending some time to visit with us about all of that. So there you go.
We're going to have, let me see here. I want to make sure I have the time right for this. John Hackworth, the coach, will be joining us at 2:20 coming up in the second hour. So
nice.
Our buddy Neil Greenberg will join at 1:30. We'll preview tonight's U of L Notre Dame game with Nate Atkins at 2. We'll throw in a lukewarm leftover. We got to get our Bet Rivers Twitter poll Tuesdays up as well. First Bet Rivers Twitter poll. We got to make some decisions on this one. Which one of these arcade characters got snubbed from the Ringers field of 64 best video game heroes? Q-Bert, Dig Dug, the guys from Double Dragon.
And Paperboy.
Are those the ones we're going to go with?
Yep, that's it. Do it. Boom.
All right, that's going up there.
Mortal Words and Martin Yan. Done. There you go.
All right, beautiful. All right. So we should, we'll do that.
Would you stop? I feel like I'm doing the show with Locke when you got that from him.
Sorry.
That's his.
What can I say?
Vocalized pauses. Make your own terms up.
Okay, that's fair.
That's no good.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. I do kind of want them to get some Cameron Lancaster baubles. That'd be kind of cool.
We have no soccer baubles in there.
I mean, I love scarves. Don't get me wrong. I got a couple Lou City scarves. They're very nice. But yeah, a couple bobbles.
You know what I'd love to do, but
Mr. Lindner, make it happen.
Ents should help us with this. This would be interesting to me. Who's the most famous soccer player in the United States? Because it doesn't have to be a U.S. player. I was a kid, the only soccer player that most of the people in like my elementary school would know was Pele.
Right.
Yes, and then he came and played for the Cosmos. So if you got an older demographic voting, they might still vote for Pele. But you could pick him. You could pick Landon Donovan. I don't know. It doesn't have to be an American player. It could be one of the players on the world stage. So I'd be curious what he would think about that. If you were to nominate four for our poll,
that could
who would you you have on there to vote for?
Okay, but see, this is the thing. Are we asking a soccer fan, or are we just asking Joe Blow, sports fan, America?
When you do this, how could we qualify them as soccer fans? Say, hey, don't vote on this. Unless, so you just got to put it in the poll up, and anybody who has a phone can vote on it. I mean, what else are you going to do? You're going to have a guy working the door?
So, you know, it's a litmus test. It's like, hey, you have to...
sitting on a little bar stool. Hey, before you pick that phone up, you a soccer fan? Yes, I am. Oh, yeah?
Name all the midfielders on Everton.
Who was the goalkeeper for the New York Cosmos back on their glory days in the 70s?
Chet Messing.
Get out of here. Give me the phone back, you jackass.
Was it Chet Messing?
Chet Messing, and don't forget it, you piece of... You know, I don't think that's going to work very well. So, anybody, just throw it open there.
All right, so would it be... So how am I phrasing this, though? Who's the most
famous soccer player in the United States? Deliberately open-ended like that.
And I'm going to put who? I'm going to put Ronaldo, Messi, Alex Morgan, and Landon Donovan.
No, Pele.
Oh, you're going classic.
I want Pele.
Who's the most famous soccer player of all time?
Yes. In the United States.
In the United States.
Yes.
That's going to be so confusing because people are going to think you're talking about...
God.
They're going to think you're talking about American players. That's what the poll should be.
Oh,
who's,
dear God.
Who's
no,
the most popular
American
player?
You know?
What?
No. I'm not asking who the most famous... That would be an easy way to phrase it. Who's the most famous American soccer player? It's not what I'm asking.
Exactly. I think that would be a good poll. You could have Alexi Lalas. You could have Alex Morgan.
My idea. I want to know who the most famous soccer player was in all time in America.
All right,
put it in parentheses if you want. Doesn't have to be an American player, which would be obvious unless the guy has a brain the size of a walnut when he reads the choices include, you know, Ronaldo and Pele. Of course, he's gonna, you know, it's not going to be American players. But if you want to spell it out so somebody doesn't yell at you, hey, jackass, Pele wasn't born in America. Duh.
I just want to make it easier on myself, you, and the voters. That's all. Forgive
Pretty
me.
Easy. You just take your phone and you go dink or dink or dink or...
Hey, I'm just trying to eliminate voter fraud, and I want the results to not have to be questioned and everything, and people storming capitals and whatnot. I'm just trying to make it easy for people. I'm kind of an American hero in that, right?
Do you ever wake up and during the course of your day, you're getting like flashbacks to a dream you had the night before? Like it's just at least popping into your head that, hey, what, I remember I dreamt that last night, and I'm trying to piece together what it was. You don't ever get that?
What type of dream exactly? Sorry, I'm trying to. I will be full disclosure. I was trying to steal Process's Louisville City scarf because I want one. They're very nice, and if we ran out of them at the station, I'm going to steal somebody's because I'm in a bad mood today. And also, I have to adjust the sun setting because there are beams from a car, like a reflection hitting me right in the eyes, and it's getting to the point where I can't see buttons. So what type of dream were you talking about again, sir?
So have you ever, the next day, after you had a dream the night before, you're just going about your business, and all of a sudden, something's popping in your head, and you're going, what is that? And you're thinking, oh, that's from this dream I had last night. And it's I think it's your body trying to make sense of what the dream was. Like, I can't remember this dream. I just know I was in my car, and I was trying to drive somewhere ridiculously long place away. Like, thousands of miles away. And, I went down a side street or something crazy.
And so you're driving, right?
Yeah.
Because seriously, I think like driving dreams have a different connotation than like riding your bike or running or something like that.
But I was driving, and it would be, again, to make an analogy, it would be as if there were four of us. And there were two guys and two women. And again, I don't know who the women are. And I'm not even sure who the other guy was. But we were talking about driving back from the same place. And it was some place very far away. So it's not like coming back from E-Town or something. We drove back here to here from like Miami. And we pulled in like basically within 5 minutes of each other, which obviously is ridiculous. You wouldn't come back from Miami and come back that close together. But we did. And I said, but I didn't see you guys on the road. And the girl said, oh, yeah, we came back via, and it would be like coming all the way back from Miami via like a Bardstown Road. That's what the dream was. And
okay.
Laughing. Yeah. I said, oh, it must be a, you know, you want to look at all those stores on the road there. I just wanted to get on the highway. That was that part. And then I remember for some inexplicable reason, they're not a sponsor of ours, so it's kind of a shame. I saw a sign for White Castle. I said, well, I would like to go get some White Castle.
Sure.
And I
the crave.
Pulled into the parking lot, and I said, okay, well, this is great. I can just go work. You know, it's like one of those, you just can work your way through the various parking lots. Like, you know, all the businesses, their parking lots all kind of link in. So I went, and I was going through the various businesses, and I got to where the sign was for White Castle, and then it actually was on the other side of a divided highway. And I couldn't figure out how I was going to get over there and get into the White Castle. Now, what the hell? What does that any of that mean?
I don't know. Look it up during the break. Maybe there's a, you know, you can do the little, what's it called? The dream analysis. There we go. Couldn't think of it. By the way, 437-9680 UPS job sex line. I do know that, like, if you're driving in a car and you're not driving, or you are and you feel like you're, like, all over the road, it means that you kind of feel like life's out of control because you're driving out of control. But that one, I don't know what that had to do with, like, with all the directions and the routes and everything like that. Maybe it feels like, is it sort of like maybe a different version of, you know, you and I both have that dream where you can't get the job done.
You can't get to practice.
I keep leaving my skates in the locker room, and I go back to get my skates, and then my hockey stick isn't there.
I'm coaching and I can't find the way to the arena from the locker room. Well, wait a minute. That was another part of it. My father started the athletic program at our high school, and it was, and I do know what triggered this. I asked last night during the game, does anybody still in the Power Six conferences have their baskets in their arenas suspended from the ceiling like they do at Duke? Duke still has them suspended from the ceilings at Cameron Indoor Stadium, which was how it was done many years ago. Nobody does that anymore. They all have the portable baskets, you know, the ones like they have in the big arenas, even if they're not in a big arena. Like I went to see my old school, it made me laugh actually, St. Francis College in Brooklyn. Their building, Division I program, seats 1,200 people, and they had those baskets. And I was like, come on, really? You really need those? He can pretty much suspend it from the ceiling, but they had those too. So anyway, my father started the program at our high school, and he was always so proud of this, and I give him great credit. Like so many high school gyms, If you know, the main game court, if you're visualizing the main game court, you could divide the gym at the mid-court line of the men's of the main court, and then you'd have one gym, like, you know, if the boys team was practicing, they could be on one side and the girls team was on the other. And very often when you do that, you don't have enough baskets to really practice. My dad set this up so that you could configure this gym so many different ways that even if you divided it that way, you could have, they'd be smaller, but you could have two full courts going one way, you know, and then one full court going the width, you push the bleachers in, the width of the building, and then a couple of extra baskets attached to the wall. So it was amazing. He had, I think I was counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. I think there were 18 baskets in this gym, in a high school gym. And he was so proud of that because, you know, for gym teachers, if they wanted to have more games, you'd have kids sitting and waiting. They could all play. And for your practice, you know, if you had 9 baskets on each side, each kid could have a basket and be working on his game. Well, in this dream, I went to this new gym in our high school, ostensibly, and I walked in and they only had like 3 baskets in the whole gym. They had the 2 on the main court and then 3 other ones, so 5. And my father was in there. I love that when the people were deceased. A guy said to me once, he believes that's them coming back to visit you. And he was very jovial for some reason. And I was like, Dad, look at this. Look what they did. They don't even do it like you did. Your other gym, how many, all those baskets were unbelievable. I said, in fact, can we go over there and go see it? And he said, yes. And we all, it was me and him, and I don't know who else was with us. But some other, oh, is that the siren? We're out of time to talk about dreams. But anyway, we all jumped in a car, and we went to my original high school gym. And then we didn't get there. I woke up before we got there. But I was very happy. We were going back to my original high school gym with my dad. See, that's what has been trying to come out. All during this show. There we go. That's what was trying to pop out of my head. And Are you still wiping spit off your face from produce, or are you with me?
No. I got the spit off. I couldn't find the dial to get the sunscreen down, but I found a giant box and I put it in the window.
Okay.
So now I can kind of see again.
There was a guy named Buckminster Fuller who was a very brilliant.
That's a great name.
President of Yale, and he said his goal was he came up with his own language. And they said, why did you do that? He said, so now I know that whenever I'm speaking, I'm saying exactly what I mean. So I love to find words that would fill gaps. And I think there's two. This dream, while it was happy to see my dad, there should be a term for a dream that's between a happy dream and a nightmare. You know, it's neither one. It wasn't when you get up and go, oh, man, I'm sorry that dream's over. Or it wasn't when we go, thank God. Oh, you break up in a sweat. It's an unsettling kind of dream. There should be a name for that.
Oh, yeah. It's an ambient dream. It's one of those creepy, nonsensical, vivid.
But they're really vivid.
Is it vivid? Was it like you're remembering all these details. So
there should be a name for that. Like you say, I had a nightmare, people know what you mean. Oh, I had a wonderful dream, know what you mean. I had a bleh, then they'd say, oh, you had one of those unsettling dreams, it wasn't really a nightmare. There's no word for that. And I'll give you another word that we desperately need in our culture. I'm binge-watching every damn thing in the world since I haven't left the house in 10 days. And there's always this plot lines when they're not, you know, action thrillers or even in action thrillers, they have those, where a man and a woman, usually, although not always true anymore, of course, in today's society, but, you know, when there's a budding romance and the guy or the girl is talking in terms of the other person and they're saying, I like you. And what they mean, of course, is they have romantic feelings, but they're not yet ready to say I love you. But it's not like I like you like I like Stratomatic, but I don't want to, you know, I don't want to kiss, you know, Ron Hunt's card on column two. I mean, no, it's not like that. So there needs to be another word for that phase that's between, gee, I like you, I like pizza, I like Frosted Flakes, and I love you. And there's no word for that. And it would help in dramas, because everybody has to do the same thing. I like you. No, I really like you. I like you too. No, but I'm saying I really like you. It'd be so much easier if he could say I bluff you. You know, I don't know. Fill in your word there. We need a word for that. We need a word for that. We need a word for a dream. It's not a nightmare.
I'm catching feelings.
Sorry?
Catching feelings. Isn't that sort of like the thing the kids are saying? I'm not sure. Text that into listeners. Catching feelings. Like you're starting to, you know.
Like you're Manny Sanguine back there? You're catching feelings?
Well, you're starting to, you know, you're starting to get the little tummy butterflies for somebody.
Okay. Well, it'd be better if there was a word for that. And we don't have that word. It's not infatuation. That doesn't work.
The Germans do that, man. They have like a million words in their language, like more than us, because it's Lego words.
Who does this?
The Germans. The way their language is set up, that literally.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No question. The German is definitely the language of romance. And,
hey.
And you know, when the word for butterfly is Schmetterling, you know that you got a very. French. My brother used to say it all the time. French language butterfly is papillon. And in Italian, it is
Farfalla.
And then in the German, it's Schmetterling.
Beautiful. Nothing says I love you like Flemish.
Yeah,
right. Okay, hey, we got to take a break here because we got to get our buddy Neil
Why
Greenberg on from the Washington Post. There's a, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, a guy phrased it perfectly for us.
Okay.
For our hour two Bet Rivers Twitter poll on Bet Rivers Twitter poll Tuesday. Who do people in the U.S. think is the most famous soccer player of all time? Bang. There we
Fair
go.
Fair enough.
Perfect.
Well done, Mr.
Perfect.
Listener poll writer. Here's to you, Mr. Listener poll writer. You write the polls. Oh, sorry. I turned into a...
Taylor, country music superstar and occasional sports radio host, Taylor Lynch, texted me that says the kids do use the phrase catching feelings. So there we go. You don't like that, okay. I guess. Okay, that's fine.
Come on. Some adults have these things. Like, could you see your, you know, somebody who's a little older, maybe they've been divorced, and they're finding somebody in their life that's really special to them, and he's going to turn to say, and would you say, I'm catching feelings? The woman would run like their hair's on fire. What happened?
I mean...
He was talking like a 12-year-old.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that's what the kids say.
Those wacky kids.
And saying this, right now the most well-known recognizable players in the world are Ronaldo, Messi, Neymar, and I don't know how to say this guy's name, Mbappe. I'm not trying to be boastful in my ignorance there. I don't know how to say that, unfortunately. But he said of all time, it's probably Maradona, Pele, Beckham, and Donovan. And
that's your point.
I was gonna say those four.
Put
so
those
I'm happy
four guys
about that.
On. Fantastic. Put those guys on and let the voters have at it.
All right, that'll also be a Bet Rivers Twitter poll Tuesday. The first one,
damned good poll, Entz.
The first one was which of these classic arcade protagonists got the biggest snub? It was Qbert, Dig Dug, oh my God, what's the name of the game? The Double Dragon guys and Paperboy.
That's it. I'm telling you, a nice poll. It's a nice poll.
If I had a dime every time I heard that, I'd have one nickel. Okay, let's get Neil Greenberg on the other side.
All right, take a break. ESPN.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
Because I was spacing out, I was, as always, I get our next guest's Twitter stuff, whoever that is, in front of me. And so I was getting Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, since he's coming on next. You can bring him on. I think you might want to hear this. So here he joins us right now, Neil Knuckles Greenberg, to join us from the Washington Post. And Neil, you know, you sometimes just space out, or at least I do. And so I was getting ready to have you come up and join us. So I was getting your Twitter stuff up in front of me, and I wasn't thinking. And I, rather than just typing Neil Greenberg, I actually typed Neil Knuckles. And there is a guy, Neil Knuckles Garrard. Did you know this? He's a big football.
I did not, but that's trademark infringement.
He's a football, boxing, darts. He plays county darts for Cheshire. Oh. And he's got a whopping 290 followers. So I think
well,
you should hook up with him.
Talk with them. I mean, there's only room for one Neil Knuckles in the universe.
I couldn't agree with you more, but I think you definitely need to call your trademark lawyer and get that taken. The Post must have somebody to do that for you.
I'm sure that they would love to handle this type of case. It sounds
spend
like
a little
it's
money on
perfect.
It. Sure, absolutely. Hey, I have a question for you. It was an article that was not related to your website, but it's out of season, but I thought it was interesting. The Indianapolis Colts, of course, get Carson Wentz a year after they had Phillip Rivers. And the article said, well, let's compare these two quarterbacks and by doing so get an idea, is the team better, worse, or about the same? Where would you weigh in on that?
It really depends on which Wentz they're getting. I mean, if they get one, if they get the one that debuted in the NFL and is healthy, then they could have a really good quarterback on their hands. But what we've seen over the past couple of years, what's probably been the most alarming stat for him is that his rate of throws that are on target, meaning like throws that are actually in the vicinity of the receiver and the receiver has a chance to catch them, has gone down from 77 to 70 to 61% over 3 years. And that puts him at like dead last in the NFL. So something happened. I don't know if it's mechanics, if it's mental, physical, or what have you, but he's not able to throw a good ball anymore. And if that's the type, if that's the Carson Wentz that they're going to get, then no, the Indianapolis Colts got significantly worse at the most important position. But if they can somehow rekindle him with Frank Reich and kind of capture some of that magic from earlier on, then maybe it's a slight upgrade. But I'd have to see that first. I mean, based on what we've seen over the past couple of years, the trend is significantly downward.
How much is, just absolutely pure speculation. I don't think you know Carson Wentz, and I don't. And what we'd be talking about, even if we knew him, would be difficult to document. But how much do you think could that performance have been a byproduct of the absolutely terribly deteriorating relationship he had with his coach?
I mean, it's certainly possible. But, it started 2 years ago also. And, you know, so there was a drop already, and then there was a more significant drop. So that, you know, it could be a combination of things. I mean, like you said, we may never know. You know, there's certainly, he certainly needs fixing. And I guess the silver lining is that we did see a very, very good Carson Wentz just a couple of years ago. So I think that it's certainly possible for him to get back to where he was. I mean, how many times has Tom Brady been counted out? I mean, Aaron Rodgers was on the down, that kind of looked like he was on the down sort of his career, and then, you know, here he is, an MVP front runner. You know, not to say that Carson Wentz is as good as either of those guys, but we've seen quarterbacks on the decline resurrect their career somewhere else. So it's certainly possible that Wentz does it. I think, though, it's a little bit more than mental. It seems like something happened in terms of just his overall football everything that just seems to be off.
The Washington Post, Neil Greenberg with us here, talking about a bunch of things. This is before you go running for your radio dial in Louisville and say, well, he's talking hockey. It's not really hockey. It's frankly, it's got very little to do with hockey. But it's especially as you're located in Washington, D.C., our political center, I think it's actually a fair game to be discussed here. I had a professor in college. You may know the name now. His name is Dr. Richard Lapchick. He's the head of the Center for the Study of Sport and Society down at University of Central Florida. He started that back at Northeastern, moved it to Florida. Very brilliant guy. And his premise was, you don't have to like it, I don't have to like it, or you can love it. It doesn't make a difference either way. But sports and politics have always been inextricably linked going back forever. And now here's another example, one might say, but I want to get your thoughts on it. The Rangers player, who is Artemi Panarin, stepping away from the Rangers. He's a star player, and he's supposedly stepping away because they're making allegations against him about something that went on back in Russia in 2011, 10 years ago. Now, it's very smart of them if this is calculated, because nobody's going to stand up and want to defend a guy for beating a girl, a woman, but that's the allegation, that it was an 18-year-old girl in 2011. But that's not what makes it the story. The story is ostensibly that these are trumped up charges because he has been speaking out against Putin's government. He's been speaking in support of an opposition leader, and this is a way that they get back at you. They've threatened his family. You're a lot closer to the discussion of it, and you're a bit of a hockey fan. What do you think and again, I don't suggest you're working for the State Department, but what's your best estimation about what's really going on here?
You know, that's a good question. There's a lot to unpack here. It came as a little bit of a surprise in terms of, you know, him stepping away, because from what I understand, and this is only what I understand as of right now of goings on in a foreign country, you know, it's just one guy's account. No one's come forward to say, yes, this is what happened. As far as I'm understanding, there's been no victim that's come forward. And the Rangers issued a statement that didn't really clear up anything, just to say that, you know, their player vehemently and unequivocally denies any and all allegations in this fabricated story. So we don't know what it is. Now, if it turns out that this is indeed some sort of retribution campaign, you know, obviously that's pretty significant, considering, you know, how openly NBA players, for example, you know, criticize our own government and what goes on here in terms of activism. They have a very loud voice, as they should. But as of right now, there's probably just a lot that we don't know. And, you know, certainly him stepping away based on one person's account is, you know, certainly something to look at. But we're just going to have to wait and see. Other than that, I mean, the Rangers aren't going to have him play. And, you know, it may take a couple of days to unpack this whole thing.
Talking to Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post, you've now got a little bit of time here to take into account the injury to Anthony Davis and the Lakers. We might have brought this up last week, but I always am intrigued when you had a few games go into the books, and we've seen some other teams play. NBA favorites in your mind right now, and how heavy a favorite would you make that team, whoever that is?
I think it's probably the Clippers right now. I think the Clippers, I wouldn't call them a heavy favorite, but I think that you have a little bit of a logjam at the top. Clippers, Milwaukee Bucks out of the East, and then the Jazz out in the West. And then right below them, probably the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets. Certainly the Lakers losing to a Wizards team in overtime, it did not look good. Looked great for the Wizards, but you know, the Lakers were a favorite in that game and probably should have won. So yeah, I mean, they've definitely taken a step down, but once Anthony Davis comes back, I think the Lakers at least move up into that top tier, and there's a four-team logjam up there. But I've liked the Jazz for a while. I think the Jazz have really looked good in the West and have been underappreciated until they went on that 20-game streak against the spread. But I think right now, you know, it's still a little bit too close to call in because we don't know what the second half schedule is going to look like. We don't know if the schedule is going to favor any one team. We don't know how many games are going to be compressed, you know, over significant periods of time in terms of back-to-backs. But I think right now I would put Clippers and Jazz and Bucks 1-2-3 and wouldn't really have an argument to split them in any particular way. And then the Lakers and Nets right behind them.
You know, it's rather remarkable. I mean, we've basically anointed LeBron James, you know, as the king, and he has not won an MVP award since the 2012-2013 season when he won his fourth. I was reading an article the other day that said this may be his best chance in a decade to win the MVP. Is he very much in the discussion? Do you think he has a good chance? What do you make of the layout of the discussion for MVP in the NBA?
Yeah, I always think that he's got a chance, and he probably gains more steam as we go forward. But I think Jokic in Denver and perhaps even Joel Embiid in Philadelphia are the two guys to watch now. You know, the big man's kind of making a resurgence. They're both at the forefront of what their teams are doing. And I think it's a little bit of you know, fatigue in terms of, like, voting fatigue for LeBron James. Not that his stats have declined at all, but I think once you start winning, you know, it makes it much more difficult to keep winning. I mean, look at Russell Westbrook. You know, Russell Westbrook had that triple-double season, won the award, had a triple-double season the next year, and I don't even think he was in the top three for the MVP finalists. So I think that, you know, you always have to continue to improve in order to keep getting the MVP award votes. But, you know, with LeBron playing at such a high level, you know, it's hard for him to improve. So even if he just stays the same, you know, I think in some people's minds that, you know, it's not MVP worthy, so they look for others. But you know, I think when all is said and done, when you look at how percentage of votes and votes and raw votes that he's gotten over his career, I don't think anyone will come close to how much respect he's gotten in those type of voting.
Last thing before I let you go, I always ask you about a business part of the sports world. You know, people have been talking about TV ratings for sports are going down, and some people who want it to be the case, even though I'm not sure the numbers support it. Oh, the NFL is not popular anymore because when the players started kneeling, nobody watched and blah, blah, blah. But the discussion right now about negotiations between their partners, and they are the only pro league that gets to be with everybody. They're on NBC, CBS, Fox, and essentially ABC, the Disney-owned ESPN family of networks, and they are all renegotiating their deal, trying to get their primary package renewals done by March 17th. They are asking for a very significant increase in the amount of money, and they're already paying a lot of money. I mean, Disney alone for the ESPN pays around $1 billion a year, and the NFL wants them to sign a deal that would be on average of $3.5 billion a year. ESPN is balking at that. They want it, but they don't want to give away the store for it, and I'm sure the other networks are also re-examining it, but, you know, largely the NFL is asking for it because in their mind, they can get it. That's what it comes down to. They're the most desirable property. So where do you think we're headed with this?
I mean, there's going to be a deal because no one, you know, like you said, everyone wants the NFL package. They just, you know, this is all part of the negotiating. And if you're you know, if you're the NFL, you know, of course you're going to start at a really high number because then that gives you some flexibility to go down and force others to come in or at least be creative. I don't think that anything's going to move. I think everything will stay where it is. Will the NFL get double that price? Probably not. But, you know, I can certainly see like a 50% increase. Because you just look at the way, you know, the NFL is, you know, how much interest, and then you have the, you know, the Nickelodeon type stuff that they're doing. They're putting football on like more kid-friendly type sports packages together. And so I think that they, you know, NFL probably needs Disney as much as, you know, any other partner, if that's the route that they want to go towards to try to get new fans. So I think that there'll certainly be a deal, you know, closer towards the deadline, but I could easily see, especially, you know, in the economy that we're in and how difficult it is, you know, to fill stadium seating and everything like that. I mean, you know, they're going to need the broadcast partners to try to make up some of that sort of shortfall.
Buddy, it's good to catch up with you, Knuckles. I'm telling you, contact that guy in England. I think a cease and desist is in order. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, well, my lawyers will contact him, that's for sure.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. Be safe.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post with us here. Neil Knuckles Greenberg. And he's not going to let that guy get away with it, and I don't blame him. What the heck is going on here?
Justice will be served. What if it's – and this is so – I love it when people do this, when you say that you – like. You went to a certain college, or you work at a certain large establishment, or you lived in a certain city, and someone goes, "Oh, do you know so and so?" And it's like, "Well, there's only about, oh, I don't know, 50,000 to 5 million people there. No, somehow I didn't know them." Occasionally, though, they do. But I wonder if we ask Mark Deeks, our NBA guy from across the pond, if he knows that guy. That and what, oh, you know, I could just see him going, "Oh yes, you know, he's a lovely lad. Throws darts very well." And then we have to,
Get that one. I went
get
to
Mark to help us kill him.
In Virginia, just to get that. You're from New York, yeah. Do you know the Williams? yeah, sorry. Where does he live? He's in New York somewhere. Well, I mean, like New York City. I don't know. He's in New York. Yeah, probably lives in Buffalo. He lives like as far away from me as Virginia is from me, but it just happens to be in the same state. So anyway, all right, we'll take a break. We're at the top of the hour, and we have some time, I think, right? Our next guest is for another 20 minutes or so?
We have Nate Atkins. He's going to join us. Nathan Atkins on the other side. Nathan Atkins III, I apologize, from SI Now, covers the Irish. He's going to talk a little bit about tonight's matchup. By the way, have you heard anything that it's not going to get postponed or anything, have you? Because I've heard a couple rumors.
And, oh God, again?
Well, so far they seem to be completely unsubstantiated.
I think so. I think somebody's just trying to create havoc, as it were. That's what I think. But I could be wrong.
Okay, all right. Well, I was just wondering if you'd heard anything.
I haven't heard anything, no. But okay. Again, the only thing I'll say as a caveat is the last time when they were supposed to play, I first got wind of it on this show. So, you know, just because I haven't heard anything, I wouldn't use that as my guideline. But I can't believe. How could they have to cancel another game? It doesn't make any sense. So, I don't know. Anyway, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll preview the Cards and the Irish coming up on this edition of the V-Show on ESPN 680 105.7.
You're locked on the V-Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Check out our Bet Rivers Twitter polls. Coming up, I don't know if have you posted them already? If not, they should be up there very shortly.
Yeah, no, they're up there. I literally just got them up there during the commercial break. Also, by the way, I completely forgot to do this, so I'm going to do it real fast. I guess that's just the day I'm having.
You're listening to Kentuckiana's ESPN 680, WHBE Newburgh, and 105.7 WHBE FM Eminence Frankfurt.
I don't see the polls anywhere. I think you're making crap up. Is it on the ESPN 680 Twitter handle or under you?
ESPN 680.
Yeah, for the love of God. I gotta go search again. want to see how we're doing. ESPN 680, see how these early poll results are coming back into us. Let's see what we got here. It's Tom and Jerry, the movie. I don't know why. Here we go. V-Show, Bette Rivers, Twitter poll number one. Which classic arcade characters got snubbed the worst in Ringer's best video game character bracket? Paperboy, Dig Dug, Q-Bert, or Double Dragon? My prediction is Double Dragon. My vote is going to be Paperboy. And the poll, oh my God, Paperboy is dominating right now. Hey, good for me. All right, so that was right. The other poll's not up yet, no matter what you say. Not up yet. So there you go. So we'll keep you posted on that. I'm going to tell you some things. That's my goal, is to tell you some things. That makes Nick happy when I tell you some
things. It's up
things.
There. It is up there.
Going to tell
it is
you
now up
garbage.
There.
It's a damn lie, and you know it.
No, it's up there now. I had to click post.
Yeah. ESPN Louisville proud to announce that they're partnering with Louisville City FC coming up this season. You'll be able to hear live play-by-play of Louis City as they go for another USL championship right here on ESPN 680, 105.7 and 93.9 The Ville. And right now we're giving you a chance to win four ducats to the 2021 home opener. Visit LouisCity.com/ESPN Louisville to enter. Do it today. Who doesn't want free tickets? I mean, come on. Everybody wants free tickets. I'm also going to tell you about our friends at Crozier because they have got the Kroger app. And if you do that, you'll get all the fresh you want with delivery or free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Plus, you'll find more ways to save on the fresh you love with personalized coupons, weekly sales, rewards like fuel points, and more. Restrictions apply. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Don't forget our friends at UPS. They're hiring. UPS Jobs right now currently running attendance bonuses of up to $300 for select shifts. There's multiple part-time employment opportunities available to you with varying shifts between days and nights. College student, take advantage of Metro College and have 100% of your undergraduate tuition paid by UPS to U of L or JCTC if you work the night shift at Westport. UPS provides great benefits, including career advancement opportunities, upward mobility, paid health insurance. That's a big, big plus after 9 months of employment for you and your family. Administrative, non-union entry-level opportunities also available with benefits after 6 weeks of employment. Visit upsjobsky.com for more information or upsjobs/Louisville to apply today. So there you go. Cards take on Notre Dame tonight. Very important game for them, I think. They haven't had a lot of time to get their house back in order after North Carolina thumping, but we'll see. I expect they'll play better than that. But that game in North Carolina was about nothing more than the COVID wiping out any kind of preparation. So we'll see with only a couple days if they can get it back on the rails to take on the Fighting Irish, who have been kind of all over the place, but that's not really fair. I think a lot of people thought this was going to be a real rebuilding year for Mike Bray, and they've been competitive. They've been certainly very competitive, and we intend to visit with Nathan Atkins III. I think he wasn't he on Gilligan's Island? No, that's wrong. But you can find him at Nate Atkins Zero on Twitter, and he joins us right now. Nate, thank you for being with us. You agree with that assessment? I mean, Notre Dame, it's kind of hard to look at the year and say, what a train wreck. They were considered to be in rebuilding mode very much this year. They've had some good games, but they just don't quite have the depth or, to me, the defense to maintain it. But they've had some, when they play well, they can play with anybody in this league. How do you assess their season?
Yeah, well, first, Coach, I want to say thanks for having me on. And I want to mention that you guilted me into changing my Twitter name after the last time we talked. So I tried to make it a little easier for people to follow me.
What was it last time?
It was I think Atkins. I don't even remember it. It was so complicated. You know what I mean?
I'm flattered I had that kind of power.
Yeah, of course. I got to make it easy. But to your question about Notre Dame, I think you're right. I think a lot of people thought they were in a rebuild, and they look okay, I think, right now. There's still some things that obviously need to get fixed, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, right? They've blown a couple big leads. But I think they're a competitive team, and I think, tonight they're going to give Louisville, a bit of the run for their money here.
I've always thought Mike Bray has been one of the most innovative offensive coaches. I think that's always been his history. I don't think he was appreciated as much for some of the offensive teams he built at Notre Dame. You talk about putting a system around your talent. He's been brilliant at that. They got better defensively in more recent years. This team just, people like them Notre Dame, and he gets smart kids who can shoot it. But they've had some athletes over the last few years. This team doesn't strike me as athletic. What do you make of that, and how does that translate to the defensive end?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think they've got some really good shooters. I think you see that in the fact of the stat sheet on how they score. But yeah, I think on the defensive end, they don't have anybody that's really going to wow you or who's going to jump out of the gym. I think back to some of the guys like Jeremy Grant or Zach Augustus. Those guys definitely, they're not on this team. But I think it's a testament to how good of a coach Bray is that even without these stellar athletes, they do a pretty good job. I mean, 9-11 is not the best, but I think they're competitive, and I think they play well. I think it's, to your point, I think it's about scoring down the stretch more than it is about defense. I think if they can keep scoring the way they do in the first half of games, later in games, they can overcome that lack of defense.
Is that what's happened to them? I mean, they have lost leads for 15 points at Georgia Tech. The last game against Syracuse, stunning, where they were dominating the game and then just it got absolutely overwhelmed. Is that what it comes down to? They just stopped scoring the basketball? Or what happens to them in those stretches?
Yeah, and maybe this is a testament to the athleticism part, but it looked like, especially watching the Syracuse game, they really couldn't handle that press. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a factor of being, unathletic or maybe not unathletic, but not as athletic as Syracuse. And that press really started to struggle or cause them to struggle. They started turning the ball over, and then they just kind of went cold from three in the second half. I mean, Nate Lazuski's their best player, in terms of points and rebounds. I'm in the Apprentice Hub as well. But I think, you don't think of a 6'10 guy being your athletic guy who's gonna fill up the sheet. So I think once teams start to press them and teams start to try to make them run and speed them up, it really kind of gets them out of a rhythm.
You know, it's interesting. Coach Bray made these comments in preparation for this game and said, I'm sure they're going to press us getting off the bus because it's proven to be, prudent of late. But really, that's not how Louisville plays. This is not Rick Pitino's Louisville team. This is Chris Max. He doesn't believe in full court pressure all that much. So I'm curious what you certainly have seen Louisville, not as much as Notre Dame, but you've seen them. You think they'll press him? You really think that he'll go out of character because Notre Dame had a little trouble with Syracuse's press? I don't see that. I really don't.
Yeah, I think it becomes one of those things where, and again, when I think of Syracuse historically, I don't think of the press there either. I think a lot of times when I think of Syracuse and Boeheim, I typically think of 2-3 zone. I think even sometimes to their detriment, right? Syracuse runs a 2-3 zone. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Chris Mack run the press if the game gets close or if Notre Dame jumps out to a lead, just to try to see if there's some actually proof in the pudding there, right, of speeding them up, forcing them to kind of break away, outrun guys, get open, and see if they can do that. But, yeah, I don't think they're going to lead with the full court press, but I definitely think it'll be an adjustment you see them make if they need to go on a run or kind of slow some of the Notre Dame momentum.
Seems kind of bizarre to be talking about a team at 9-11 and, well, do they have NCAA tournament chances? But they've played a brutal schedule. I mean, they played one of the most challenging schedules in the country if you look at Q1 and even Q2 games. And they've got a couple of more Q1 games and then I think another Q2 game down the stretch. I mean, they might have to win out to do it, but are they still talking about possibly getting to the postseason?
I think that's the hope. I think you're probably going to, not only win out, but I think you're going to have to see them kind of make a run in the ACC tournament and probably win that as well. While it's odd to talk about a 9-11 team trying to make the tournament, I am a Kentucky Wildcats fan, and I'm more than willing to talk to people that still listen about an 8-13 team possibly making the tournament. So,
I have faith in Notre Dame. I think it just all it all depends about getting hot at the right time, as we see time and time and again in college basketball. And if they can win out, if they can make a run in the NCAA tournament, I think they have a fighting chance. I think this year is an odd one, to say the least. A lot of the blue bloods, for lack of a better term, have been losing quite a bit. And I think Notre Dame's in the hunt at 9-11.
We'll certainly be watching. It's hard to believe how late in the season we are. I don't know why. It just doesn't feel like it is. I mean, I'm looking at the calendar. I know where we are. But because there have been so many stops and starts and we haven't played as many games as we usually do, you forget the sense of urgency there is. But, I mean, like, what does Notre Dame have left after this? Two more games? Is that right? They only have two or three? What do they have after this? Do you know?
Yeah, I'm looking right now. They got three. So Boston College, NC State, and then Florida State. So I would say those are all winnable games. I mean, Florida State obviously is almost a top 10 team, but you figure if you can go on a stretch here, win these next three, maybe even beat Florida State heading into the ACC tournament, you got to start to feel good about your odds. What's that put them at? 13-11. But yeah,
might be enough to get in a year like this. It might. You're right.
Yeah, so we'll see. I mean, it's kind of odd, and I think the only team really that looks like they're good is Gonzaga across the board, and then everybody else, I think when I look at college basketball, it seems like a toss-up. So I'm rooting for Notre Dame to get in, obviously.
You talk about being a Kentucky fan, so obviously you root for the Goliaths in this thing, or is it the Davids? Who's the bigger one? Anyway,
Goliath.
Root for the name brands. But you think it'll be? We were having this debate on the show the other day. You think it would be good for the game if this tournament was kind of a wide open affair without the blue bloods in there? Because on the one hand, you say, well, that's what makes people interested. They watch to see, you know, the people you recognize, the Tom Brady's or the Patriots when he was there, or the Yankees or the Dodgers or whoever it may be. But on the other hand, you think about how charming the stories have been when, like, Loyola of Chicago went, or when George Mason went, and people seem to rally around that. So do you think it proves popular or unpopular, or just, you know, it's no different? People just pay attention to this tournament because they like the tournament. How do you think if it's a tournament that's not filled with the regular brand names?
I think you're right. That's a part of what March Madness is all about, right, is having those Cinderella teams. And with a wife that went to Loyola Chicago, I can tell you we packed up and went out to San Antonio to watch them play Michigan in that Final Four. It's a lot of fun, and Sister Jean and all of that. I think you're right. I think it would be good to see some of these teams maybe with lesser known brands kind of make a run. I think even looking at the top 10 right now, there's some teams in there like Alabama, Oklahoma, Iowa, these teams that are big names but aren't necessarily basketball powerhouses. So yeah, it would be great to see some of those teams, Loyola, Virginia Tech, Creighton, always a good mid-major school there. So I think it would be fun. I think as long as Kentucky gets in and Notre Dame as well, I'll be happy with however the tournament shakes out. I just, as a fan, I would not want to watch postseason without them.
Last thing before I let you go, I don't know how much you're dialed into the story, but, you know, Notre Dame came out the other day and said, excuse me, hey, this is great. The EA Sports College Football game's back. That's wonderful. But by the way, we're not participating. So, I mean, so fans have already started making the comment, yeah, sure, can't wait to be playing with the Catholic Indiana Catholic University in my football game. What do you make of that? Are they just opposed to the players getting money, or they just don't want to take a step until there's some sort of a universal policy with name, image, and likeness? Or what do you make of the situation? Are you close enough to kind of have a feel for what's going on there?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is probably it's not that they don't want the players to get money. I know that originally, I think it was the president of the university came out and said, hey, if we start paying players, Notre Dame might go down a different path. But I think that's the new standard in football, and I think that they're on board with that. I think it's about understanding all of the details and how players are going to get paid. There was a Notre Dame insider who came out and he talked about there's a Samsung commercial with CJ Procise, a former running back, in it. And Notre Dame negotiated with him on his behalf to make sure that if Samsung was going to use his license, that he got paid for that, even though he's now in the NFL, et cetera. So I think Notre Dame is always going to put the student athletes first and make sure that they're getting properly compensated for their likeness and their imagery. And I think there's a two-pronged thing here where the player has their own likeness, but they also are affiliated with the Notre Dame brand, which carries a level of prestige on top. So I think Notre Dame probably just wants to make sure that their players are getting the best rate if they're going to get paid. So yeah. I would wait to see how it plays out.
We'll see. Nate Atkins, zero. See how much easier it is. I'm so proud that you changed that. I'm flattered. I follow him on Twitter there, and he's a contributor for SI Now and talking a little bit about the Cards and the Irish tonight. Nate, take care of yourself. Thanks for the visit again. Be well.
All right. Thanks, Coach. Stay safe.
Bye. All right. There you go. We'll take a short break, come back, and going to visit with Coach Hackworth from the Loose City here in just a moment. So we're looking forward to that as we continue spreading the word about our partnership there with the good folks. And but before I tell you about anything else going on in the show, let me tell you about our friends at DraftKings, because they are back in the spotlight, making it fun for you and a chance for you to make some money, because that's they got some great deals for you. It's really incredibly innovative that they do the promotions that they do. But it is not definitely not a we're not in March yet. There we go. So we can say that. But I can tell you this. You don't have to wait for March to get some great basketball action at DraftKings. Have yourself some fun and a chance to make yourself some money with this incredible opportunity for all new, I think it's all new users. So anybody can get involved in this. And that is from DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. All new players, yes. The chance to earn $100 on a $1 bet. And it's so simple, it could not be easier. Bet $1 on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. And if your team makes that three, you're going to win yourself $100. That's a pretty simple wager to make and get 100-to-1 odds on it. You can't beat that. All it takes is for one three-pointer being hit by your team of choice, and you'll turn $1 into $100. That's a pretty good deal. This slam dunk of an offer won't be around forever, though. So head to the App Store right now, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and get in on all the action. Basketball is not for you. Fear not, because DraftKings Sportsbook has daily odds on soccer, hockey, and so much more. You know, they've paid out over $7 billion to their customers since 2012, so they know a thing or two or three about big paydays. But there's only one way you can get in on this fun. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WHBE to get your shot to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on any team to hit a three-pointer in any basketball game this week. Remember the promo code WHBE for new customers to get a shot at 100-to-1 odds on any basketball team to hit a three-point shot only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Indiana only. New customers only. Restrictions do apply. Winnings are paid out in four $25 free bets. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. We'll be back. The V Show, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Make your life better with a new job at UPS. Join Team Louisville as a warehouse worker. Earn $14.50 per hour in an essential job, plus get money for college. Search and apply now at upsjobs.com/Louisville. That's upsjobs.com/Louisville.